And this is rolling, so you don't have to worry about anything.
All right. Well, good evening. It's great to be here tonight. We got up here a little early, thankfully, got off that highway, and got to enjoy and calm down a little bit. What a beautiful little town you have here. Just nice neighbors. We went down to the park and just strolled around the park, and it's huge. It's just wonderful. And so, as was mentioned in the prayer, we're so blessed. We're blessed to have a place to live like this. Englewood's a lot busier, right next to Denver. But it's a small town atmosphere. We've got about 33,000 in the city of Englewood. And I'm blessed to be there for many years. 40 years in Englewood. So, in the city. I have been a member there at Englewood. I just walked in the doors 25 years ago. And I got in a Bible study and became a Christian in September of 1991. So I've been blessed ever since. Your sign said bring a friend, and so I brought my friend and my wife, Sarah. Do we know the song, Make Me a Servant? I wrote that down. It's in the book, 694. If you're not familiar with it, it's a real simple song. It's a prayer. Let's just sing that together and... I love to hear it. I love to lead it. We sing it a lot at Camp Koinonia, and other camps that I'm involved. I wish I could have come up last week to hear Brett Carter. He's been a good friend of mine for many years. Let's sing. Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must do to make me a servant, Lord, make me like you. Let's pray. Father, we have sung this beautiful, simple song, yet it's profound. We love you, God, so much, and we're thankful that we can be your servants. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to be an example, to be the perfect servant, the one that we should follow. We thank you for Christ Jesus coming and serving, and still even to this day serving the church, serving his church. Thank you, Father, for the words that we sang to challenge us, Father, and that is do what you must do, Father, to make us a servant, to make us like your Son. So tonight, Father, as we're challenged by you, by your presence, by your word, we ask, God, that you help us to open our hearts and see some things about serving one another and the depth of serving God. We love you so much, and we want to serve you stronger, even after tonight, even after next week, next year. So God, help us. We need your help. We pray for it. We ask it for this help, Father, in the name of your Son and our Savior and our servant, Jesus. And amen. Do you realize that all of us are servants? The world is full of servants. Did you realize that? We're all slave servants. Turn with me to Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Rome. He hadn't been there yet. He wanted to see them. He wanted to lay hands on them and give them an extra portion of the Lord, of God's Spirit. But here is he's writing some information that maybe we didn't realize. I know before, as I became a Christian, I used to think, you know, before I was a Christian, I did whatever I wanted. I wasn't a slave servant to anyone. Until I started studying this thought of a slave servant. I'm in Romans in chapter 6. And in Romans in chapter 6, starting in verse 15, Paul says this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Paul says, may it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves... for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Something I want us to point out, or I want to point out here, we're slaves to whom we obey. Paul goes on to say, either the result of in sin resulting in death, or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you were slaves to sin, you have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. He's going to use this word over and over again, slaves. If we look in the original language, we find that this word is doulos or doulos. Or from that word, doulos. So what I've done is changed the word in the song, Make Me a Servant. Make me a doulos. Lord, make me like you. For you are a doulos. Make me one too. Lord, make me a doulos. Do what you must do to make me a doulos. Lord, make me like you. I like that. I pray that all of us in the room here tonight understand the importance of this transition that we have gone through in our obedience to Christ. At one time in our lives, we were slaves to unrighteousness. We were slaves to disobedience. And that was leading to death. Yet through the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through our obedience, we have become slaves, doulos, to righteousness, slaves to Jesus. When we read chapter 6, we can see when that transition was made. It's when we die to sin. We read in chapter 6 and verse 3, or verse 2, you who have died to sin, do you still live in it? No, because we're slaves to righteousness, slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24? He says that you can't serve what? Two masters. You either serve God or mammon or wealth. And he went on to say, you're either going to love the one and hate the other, be devoted to the one. You can't serve two masters. You can't be a slave to two masters. Again, doulos or douloi. So, of course, we want to be slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that's what we've become when we die to sin. Verse 3 in chapter 6, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, we're going to find out, is our example of a doulos, a slave. We've been baptized into his death and have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ, who was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Walking in the newness of life reminds me of chapter 8 of Romans in this letter, where he talks about the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit that God gives us as a gift when we are obedient to his teachings. The Spirit, Christ, helps us to walk in the newness of life. And what are we, church, in that newness of life? We're slaves to Christ. Paul will go on to say, there's no benefit in being a slave to sin. We have to leave that behind, the old self, because we've put on the new in Christ. Verse 6, knowing this, our old self was crucified with him, with Christ, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, and that we may no longer, there it is, be slaves to sin. God is so good. Read in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, you don't notice it in most of your versions, but in the New American Standard, they took the liberty in having the word doulos as bondservant. Paul was a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, at one time he was a slave to who? A slave to the law, we read in chapter 7. Well, those who were under the law had to die to the law and die with their master Jesus and raised to walk in the newness of life. Paul was a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. You know who else was a bondservant? The half-brother of Jesus, James. As you read in James chapter 1 and verse 1, and if you don't have the New American Standard, you can at least look in the original Greek and see that he was a doulos. I love that thought. How about Jude? I know there's only one chapter of Jude, right? Jude 1. You read Jude 1. Jude, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, he could have said, hey, I'm the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. No, he says, I am a bondservant, a doulos to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is a bondservant of Christ? Do we have any more detail about this? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. Turn with me, please, to Philippians in chapter 2. Again, Paul is writing this letter, and he's writing this letter to one of his favorite congregations, the Philippians. As you're turning there, do you remember Lydia, the conversion of Lydia? He goes out to the place where there's no place where the Jews were meeting in a synagogue. So the Jews would always congregate out by a stream or by a river. And there, sure enough, there was some mainly women, and they're out worshiping God, Jewish women. And Paul brings the message of Jesus Christ, and Lydia becomes a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what she said? Not long after she came up out of the waters of baptism, she said, Paul, why don't you stay with me? And it wasn't just Paul that was with Paul. It was Luke and Timothy and Silas and maybe some other men. She allowed them. She was a bondservant right out of the waters of baptism. Well, Paul starts out in chapter 1 and verse 1 of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, there it is, bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have any deacons here tonight? Raise your hand if you're a deacon. All right, we got to get after those deacons. They should be, no. But a deacon is a servant. We get the word deaconos, deacon. It's also translated minister. Notice what Paul is writing this letter to specifically in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 1 of Philippians. To the overseers, that's the elders, the pastors, plural, and to the deacons. Very important thought as we get into this idea of a bondservant. Deacons are to serve the church. But I believe every member should strive to be, and most certainly deacons and overseers, strive to be bondservants. Turn with me to chapter 2 of Philippians. Chapter 2 in Philippians, chapter 2, we have starting in verse 5. I love this whole chapter, but I just want to make this point in this chapter. Chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this, I love this scripture here. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is in who? In Christ Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. Jesus died for the church. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He spilled his blood. He purchased the church. It's his church. He's building the church. Matthew chapter 15. Well, we should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. What a goal to have. Amen. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Notice what he did, church. Verse 7. Jesus emptied himself. I like this word empty. I have a little side note there. He laid aside his privileges. Well, where did Jesus come from? From heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus was there in the beginning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, he put on flesh. That's our Lord and Savior. He emptied himself. He's God, but now he's what? Flesh. And in the flesh, he came in the form of what? Many of your versions have servant. Check me out on this. Find that word and you'll see the word doulos, or doulos, however they pronounced it. Greek was not my favorite subject in school. But doulos is something that's getting me fired up about Greek again, the original language. Jesus came in the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. By the way, he did that for us. Even death on the cross. Wow. Do we start getting a glimpse of what it is to be a bondservant? For this reason, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name above all name, that so every knee, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what I read in those verses. We're either going to bow down now, this side of death, and confess Jesus as Lord, or do it unwillingly after death. Folks, Jesus was a bondservant, and he wants us to be bondservants. So what is a bondservant? I've written this down in my Bible to remind me. Tom, this is what a bondservant is. A bondservant is someone who is totally dependent on God. Totally dependent on God. Jesus came from heaven and put on flesh, and we know through Scripture that he totally depended upon his Father in heaven. Amen? What should we be doing, church? We should be totally dependent on God. Another thing I've written here, we should be totally obedient to God. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that I've got it all right. In fact, you can talk to my wife later, and she can tell you, no, he's got some work to do. Yeah, we all have work to do. But a bondservant, a doulos, is one who is obedient to God. Jesus was obedient even to the point of death. And we'll get into that later in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. A bondservant is one who is humble. Jesus humbled himself. Do you like that song, church? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We sing that at camp. Guess who reminded us
to humble ourselves. James, the bondservant. James chapter 4, verse 10. I love what he says there in verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So you know what I say? I add to these some of these songs. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will give you grace. Amen? Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter will say this. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse, I wrote that down. Where did I, verse 6. And again, I'm doing a lot of this speaking to myself and to men, to leaders in the church. In 1 Peter chapter 5, that's what Peter's talking about. You know, he was a shepherd of the church, of the Lord's church. He was a pastor, an overseer. And in context there, he's talking in chapter 5 about the men in the church. Young men, clothe yourselves with humility. Older men and young men, we've got to come together in the church. Jesus is our example. He was an humble man and gentle in heart. Remember he said, come unto me, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Oh, those are awesome scripture. God is so good, yet we must be totally humble in his sight. A bondservant is one who is totally a slave to others. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, I didn't come here to serve or to be served. Sorry. See, that's the flesh, right? Jesus said, I come here to serve and be a ransom for many. Amen. He came to serve. Yeah, we serve him, but Jesus came to serve. We serve others. That's the hard part, isn't it? Let's be honest. We may like this bondservant idea, Jesus being our bond, but boy, that's a hard one. And then I read 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16 tells us that Jesus demonstrated his love. How did he do that? By laying his life down for us. He served us by laying down his life. Yet the second part of that verse is it gets me... where it should, in the heart. Brothers should lay down their lives for other brothers in Christ. It's serving one another. A bondservant, a doulos. Those are things, characteristics that remind me what I ought to be. In the church, in my marriage, with my kids, and they're no longer children. They're grown, but they're always going to be your children. Now we have a grandson. His birthday's today. He was born a year ago. I need to be an example of Jesus, an example of a servant. How about to our community? Absolutely. Servants. Jesus. Jesus plowed the way. Jesus showed the way. He also calls Timothy a bondservant. And as we read in this chapter, Timothy most certainly served. Verse 22, chapter 2 and verse... I just found this out as I'm studying for this lesson. So thank you for inviting me up and allowing me to get back into the Word to restudy this. It's just blooming in this idea of serving. Verse 22 in chapter 2 of Philippians, it says, but I know of his proven worth. Who? Timothy. And he served me. There's our word again from that root word, doulos. He served me to further the gospel, for the gospel. Folks, we need bond servants to get the gospel out, the good news about Jesus. Timothy, what a bond servant. I remember when I was in school at Bear Valley, and I was a young student, and I'm trying to fit myself in with some of the men that are brought up in the Bible. Of course, I didn't fit in with Moses. He had this really cool beard anyway, at least in the movies I used to watch. But a Joseph, boy, that's setting the bar really high. David, can't compare. Then we started studying Timothy. Denny Petrillo, still teaching. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. I was just there last week at the speaking chapel, and the guys had the look on the face, testing Timothy. He was teaching Matthew then. But Timothy, why did I connect with Timothy? Was timid. Do we have any timid folks here tonight? Yeah, I'm timid. You say, well, no, you're a preacher. You get up. No, I'm timid. I'm Timothy. I'm Tomothy, the timid. But Paul says, that's not from God. And if it's not from God, it's from the master Satan. Who do you want to follow? I don't want to follow Satan anymore. I didn't even know he had the grip on me. And now I found out I'm mad. All those years I wasted. That's not from God. Amen. Paul encourages Timothy. Timothy is an evangelist. And I know some of you are saying, man, that's the evangelist's job, to reach out to preach the gospel. No! We're all euangelos, messengers of good. And I know we struggle. We're timid. Well, Paul's going to give instruction to Timothy, the bondservant, on how to be one. We've alluded to it a little bit with Jesus, and even in the context there in Matthew, or in Philippians chapter 2 with Timothy and also Epaphroditus. Tychicus is called a bondservant in Colossians. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Paul has this idea of serving, of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy in chapter 2. You don't have a clock around here, so I... Oh, I better speed it up. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is going to give Timothy 1, 5, 6, 7. 7 illustrations on how the Christian, Timothy should be, but all Christians. And I've listed them as, number 1, were to be a child. Timothy was a child in a spiritual sense to Paul. It seems like Paul is using the child as an illustration here. Well, we're all children of God. I know I was up at camp a few years ago, and I said, do you guys like to be called children? And the kids said, no. And I said, well, are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, you're children of God. Oh, okay, now we get it. But see, we're children of God. Timothy had this special relationship. And he said, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need grace. Grace in Christ Jesus to help us, if you will, tonight, to serve others. Say you struggle with serving? We all do. That's why we're talking about it. That's why I'm preaching. I'm preaching to you. You're talking to me. I need to serve more. I need to be a bond servant. I need to be like a child of God. How about a soldier? We have any soldiers in here? We're praying for our soldiers, men and women. But did you know when you are, when you die to sin and are buried, you're raised up a soldier? We sing, soldiers in Christ arise, right? I may never fight in the infantry, right on, you know, VBS, I love, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Amen. Right? We sing that? We're soldiers. Timothy, you're going to face hardship. Christians, we're going to face hardship. Fight the good fight, soldier. Next one, athlete. Verse 5. How many of you watch the Olympics? Pretty awesome. There's some drama going on. But these men and women train and train. And then he's giving this spiritual application. And then Paul uses this in other places in Corinthians, because guess what was going on in his day? They had the Olympics. Going, whoa, that's been going on. Yeah, it's been going on for a few hundred years. A couple thousand years. Paul uses the illustration as an athlete. You've got to run the race. The next one I see here is a farmer. Do we have any farmers here? I know we're in farming country. I'm from Iowa. There's farms all around, but I grew up in the city in Iowa. But there's farms everywhere. We're to be farmers, right? We plant the seed. Timothy, work hard as a farmer, a hardworking farmer, verse 6. Notice what he says in verse 15, that we're to be workmen. If I've got this right, this congregation is a working man's congregation, right? Each one of us work here. That's how Inglewood is. Women are working. Men are working. We have to work. Why do you have to work? To pay the bills. Well, when we become Christians, we're workmen in the vineyard of the Lord. Timothy, you're a workman. Christians, we're workmen. He goes on with these illustrations. Another one that he's going to use that I wrote down here is we're vessels. We're vessels. Verse 20, in a large house there's not only gold and silver vessels, but there are also vessels of wood and earthenware and some of honor and some of dishonor. He goes in to talk about how we are those of honor. God is so good. Amen. Here's the one I'd like to point out, verse 24. But the Lord's what? Bondservant. Doulos. Timothy, you're a doulos. Church, we're a doulos of the Lord. Amen. We're a doulos of the Lord. And so he says, the servant, the bondservant of the Lord, here's a list of things that we should do. This is how we should serve. The first one I have on my list is must not be quarrelsome. What do your Bibles have? Does it say the same? Must not be a Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome. Does anybody want to get in a fight about that? No. We can't be quarrelsome. What do we struggle with as a family? Go up to verse 23. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing that they produce what? Quarrels. The bondservant James tells us where these quarrels come from. James 4 in chapter 1. Where do they come from? From within. Quarrels. We must not be quarrelsome. Did he say not stand for the truth? No! He told Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season. Stand for truth. But what? Don't be quarrelsome. You go back to Philippians in chapter 2. Don't complain. What happened to the complainers while they wandered in the desert? Do we have opinions? Absolutely. a bondservant. Do you want to be a bondservant? Make me a servant. Do what you must do. Well, I can't get caught up and be quarrelsome. Next, he says, be kind to all. A bondservant must be kind to all. Kindness is a characteristic of a... Was Jesus kind? Absolutely. God is so good. He wants his servants to be kind. Tim McGraw. Has anyone got any Tim McGraw fans? What was his latest song? Boy, it's making a lot of money. Humble and kind. It's just a simple song. I have the lyrics. I forgot to bring them. I wanted to do a Tim McGraw impersonation. No. What a great song. Humble and kind. Bondservants. I don't know if Tim McGraw is. I'd like to know. I'd like to find out. Maybe we could give him some more, some inspiration from the Bible about being humble and kind. A bondservant must be able to teach. Most certainly our elders, our shepherds, that's one of the requirements. They must be able to teach. Well, we all teach. If I'm reading Titus in chapter 2, older women do what? Teach younger women. We need to be bondservants. Amen, church? We can strive for this. Ask God to give us strength. We certainly have the information. Able to teach. Teach what? Teach Jesus. Teach others. Who taught Jesus to be a bondservant? Do you think when he was born in the manger there in Bethlehem that he just became one automatically? Yeah, well, he's God. No, I think, and this is my theory, I think Mary taught him to be a bondservant. Well, if you read Luke chapter 1 and verses 38 and 48, it tells us that Mary was a bondservant, a slave to God. Interesting. We need to teach others to be bondservants, to be doulos for the Lord. Amen? He also says we need to be patient. Oh, I have that scratched out in my Bible. Patient when wronged. That's what I have. Whoa. When we're wrong, church, well, how do we have much patience? Now read 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I love reading chapter 1 that talks about Paul. Here's a statement. Here's an awesome statement. Jesus Christ came and he died for sinners. And Paul says, and I'm the worst. And the next verse he says, but Jesus Christ he's displayed his perfect patience with me. And I'm reading that and I said, oh Lord, be patient with me. And you know what the Lord's word says? Okay, Tom. Will you be patient with others? Perfect patience. I should have worn my steel toes tonight because I'm stepping on my toes right now. Slaves, bondservants, that's what we're talking about. They must be gentle. Gentle in correcting those who are in opposition. You ever get into an argument with someone? Be gentle. Again, church, I'm finding this theme of gentleness all through the New Testament. You remember what Paul would write to the church in Corinth? You want me to come with a rod or with a spirit of gentleness? It's powerful, isn't it? What a great goal to strive for. Gentleness. Correcting those. Well, what is all this about? Why do we need to strive so hard to be a bondservant? Keep reading, church. Results come. God gives the increase. Remember what Paul would tell the church in Corinth? Apollos planted, I watered, or one or the other. It doesn't matter. God gives the increase. God will give increase when we strive to be servants of the Lord. What's the result? Repentance. Keep reading. Repentance. Talking about patience. Is God patient? 2 Peter chapter 3. He's so patient, he wants everyone to repent. And I used to read that, and I go, yeah, the world needs to repent. And then I started reading in depth. That's talking about all of us. God is patient with us. Yet he requires repentance, a change. And so you and I being, as best we can, bond servants, we're in the process of teaching others the riches of Christ, the riches of God. Again, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 is another favorite verse of mine. Because the riches of God, his tolerance, Paul says, is what leads us to repentance. But then you read Romans in chapter 2 and verse 5. God isn't wanting wrath on his people, on his creation. We're storing up wrath. Our unrepented hearts. And so we do our best, church, to teach repentance. It's not a popular message. In fact, a lot of preachers kind of step aside from repentance. But without repentance, there's no salvation. Are you with me on this? God is waiting for us to repent and come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. This is God's will, that all men come to the knowledge of truth. He wants all men to be saved. Paul would say the same in Romans in chapter 9 and verses 1 through 3 and chapter 10 verses 1 through 3. If he could give up his own salvation for his brethren, his Jewish brethren, he would do it. Chapter 10 and verses 1 through 3 of Romans, he said, they have zeal, but they lack knowledge. They're trying to find their own righteousness. Well, we got to repent of that. Paul repented of it. What a day that was. And then he went out and preached this same lesson and taught this same lesson. Now, it wasn't always popular, was it? We do it with kindness, we do it with patience, with gentleness. And then someone might come to their senses. Folks, each of us here, apparently, if we're in Christ, at one day came to our senses. Amen? So I guess we're all in the same category as the prodigal son. The prodigal son, as we read in Luke in chapter 15. I wrote down that verse. There it is, verse 17, Luke 15, 17. Remember, he went out and spent all of his inheritance. He's feeding pods to the pig. Oh, they're looking good. Wait a minute, I'm a Jew. I'm feeding pigs. Oh, he came to his senses. Do you notice what he said? My father's servants. Slaves, doulos. They're better, they're living better than I am. I'll just go back and be a slave for my father. Is it clicking? I'm going to tell him that I have sinned. The thing is, did he fulfill the plan? Yes, and he headed back, and the father's what? He didn't wait for him to come. The father ran to him. I love this story. He stuck to his plan. Father, I've sinned. Do you remember what the father gave him? Everything. A ring, a robe, sandals for his feet, a party. There was rejoicing going on. Snatching people out of the fire is what Jude says we need to do with mercy. Some, we got to be careful because their clothes are polluted. Serving others. Amen. And finally, in Revelation, guess who John calls himself? Twice. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. In fact, the word doulos is used 10 times in Revelation. John was a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so excited about it, he said it twice. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Revelation. We've heard the verse, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, or verse 10, be faithful. How long should we strive to be bondservants until death? Be faithful unto death. And then what? What's the promise? You'll receive. The glory of God. As we close, let's read Revelation 22, 3, please. I'm sorry, I'm going over. Revelation 22 and verse 3. Remember, this is the words that John is writing down. Jesus is giving him this revelation on the island of Patmos on the first day of the week on Sunday when he was in worship. What a worship that he had that day. Amen. Listen to what he says. I'm in chapter 22 and verse 3. There will no longer be any curse. Amen. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, in heaven. And who's going to be there with God and the Lamb? His bondservants. What will we be doing for eternity? Serving Jesus. Worshiping God for eternity. Thank you for allowing me to share a few words on serving. Could we end with a song, Make Me a Doulos? Make me a doulos, Lord, make me like you. For you are a doulos, make me one too. Lord, make me a doulos, do what you must do to make me a doulos. Lord, make me like you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Tom, brother.